I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Swapping sex partners is a bit taboo. In China, it's illegal. 22 swingers are now on trial in the city of Nanjing, China. The answer to our GeoQuiz today. The case involves an online chat room and private sex parties. Prurient though it may seem, the trial of the Nanjing 22 is generating a wider debate about the state of sexual and political freedom in China. Stan Abrams is a lawyer and also author of the blog China Hearsay, which is based in Beijing. Maybe you can just tell us, I mean, specifically, what were these men doing in these chat rooms?
Well, the so-called ringleader was a university professor. And what he essentially did was set up this chat room or this online forum where people were getting together and, for lack of a better term, wife swapping. They would get together online and then they would set up meetings where they engaged in this behavior.
What is the law under which these men are being tried?
Well, what we're talking about here is a provision in the China criminal law. And it actually hasn't been used for about 20 years, but it is pretty clear that when you have a large group that is engaged in these kinds of activities called group licentiousness, that would be a clear violation of the criminal law.
What kind of illegalities was this group licentiousness law originally written to redress?
Well, obviously, now we're talking about things like, you know, these online chat rooms and all kinds of other, you know, and online pornography and these kinds of things these days. But back then, I guess their analogs would be groups getting together privately, you know, in groups of actually any more than three people engaging in sexual activity is the main thing. So it's not that much different, but now we're talking about sort of a high-tech edge to it.
Has China ever had a trial like this where the strands of the internet and disappearing moral borders meet in such a stark way?
Well, certainly the government's focus in this area in recent years has been online pornography and going after websites that have anything from pornographic material to, in this case, people getting together for these kinds of activities. So this kind of enforcement is certainly nothing new. But when you've got all of this going on with these people, and especially the ringleader being someone connected to a university, that's when, you know, these eyebrows get raised over this case.
From here, Mr. Abrams, it's hard to say or judge what Chinese men having chats and planning about wife swapping says about how much attitudes towards sex have changed there. But 20 years ago, and be honest with us, you know, they might not have been planning these partouzes online, but did it happen?
Well, who knows? It certainly could have happened. You know, you have to wonder, though, that the internet, especially in the anonymity that it affords people, when people can get online and say all kinds of things and put themselves forward in certain ways, the opportunities are a lot more, you know, varied out there. And so, you know, I think it's probably possible that there's more of this kind of thing going on now than there used to be just because of a lack of opportunity.
You'd think that China, in its efforts to tamp down on political activism online, might throw their population something that isn't political to distract them instead. But it doesn't seem like, from what you're saying, that China's ready to bend in any respect online.
It's an interesting point because, in reality, when we get new enforcement measures on online pornography, usually it's addressed in terms of a whole list of restricted language that, for example, that can be used. And this would include not only, you know, pornographic images and dialogue and things like that that are put on in chat rooms, but also political speech. A lot of people have actually come out and criticized some of the anti-pornography campaigns, saying that they're just a thinly veiled attempt to get at political speech.
Are the wives of any of these men defendants in the trial as well?
Yeah, the wives are involved, but this is speculation, of course, but one would think that the men in this case who were, I believe, instigating this activity in the first place might face more severe punishment, but we'll have to wait and see once we get a verdict in the case.
I was going to ask you, and what does wife swapping even mean in China? Is it clear whether the wives were consensual partners in their husbands' online plans?
Well, that hasn't really come out yet. I have a feeling that we're not going to get too many of those sort of details coming out in the trial and that they'll probably try to keep some of that out of the press. This is not something that, you know, we might be familiar with in the West, where you might even have a televised hearing or you're hearing witnesses saying things in front of a jury. In China, you're talking about a magistrate hearing this, and it's a criminal proceeding. So the details and the ability, I think, as well of the press to get additional details and kind of feed the story is going to be a lot more limited.
So, Stan, just to sum it up, what do you think this trial says about China today?
Well, I think it's a great illustration of, you know, what happens when a society goes through great changes. We've seen a lot of things happening here in the last 20 years since China opened to the West. And with that openness, you get a lot of new information. Certainly the internet has counted for a lot of that. And this is what happens. You get people that are acting in certain ways and the law hasn't really caught up with it yet. And we're going to see what happens in the future, whether the proponents of liberalization win over and you get maybe some legal reform in this area, or whether conservative social order types continue to say that these things are inappropriate and they're actually bad public policy.
Attorney Stan Abrams is the author of the blog China Hearsay. Thanks very much for joining us from Beijing, Stan.
Thank you.